so we didn't get the intro again. And now he's in Wisconsin. So
at least we have a logo.
We do, although I'm having trouble with it.
Okay.
So we'll figure that whole thing out. We'll look for the Soderstrom bubble. We're doing it the Caps way in terms of branding and everything like that. Never easy. I'm Scotty Waz. That's NHL History Girl. Welcome. Couple weeks off. Had a little thing and a thing and a sickness and a thing and a thing. So we're back. Boy, howdy. The world's changed. World's changed a little bit.
For one thing, there's no more alcohol left in the D.C. area.
Zero. They're popping bottles from the Winter Classic in 2015. Did you see that?
What?
Orlov popping his wine, his specialty wine bottle from the 2015 Winter Classic.
No.
They each got like a giant wine bottle.
Like a Magnum?
Yeah, yeah. Like a big giant wine bottle. And they started drinking from that like last night, on Sunday night.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's like they're living their best life. God bless them. Like, especially the line of Burakovsky, Verona, and Smith-Pelly. They're just going freaking crazy.
I like that Ovi put on the champion's hat and apparently hasn't taken it off except to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He's just...
Good for him.
Yeah.
He's on the Tonight Show tonight as we record here.
Yeah.
So we might have to get highlights of that. Though I think we get NBC here. We can tune in at like 10:30 or whatever.
Yeah, if we remember.
Probably won't stay up that late. I don't like Jimmy Fallon. Not a Jimmy Fallon guy. Anyway.
He's okay.
Small doses. So like the thing today, obviously, going to be a little bit of Stanley Cup stories, because you had some people talk some tings about you, about wanting to know some things, and trust me, there's not tales from this Stanley Cup team, because they're already on social media and very well known. Like, this is not a time where we have to guess what happened to the Cup.
Right.
The Washington Post is making sure we get updates every
live
hour
updates.
On the hour, which this is their best work they've done.
Although,
I have to say.
Yeah, otherwise all you have to do is go to the player Instagrams. And
right, exactly.
They're just...
I will say this about that for the Washington Post.
Mm.
I know they want people to subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
I know newspapers are a dying breed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't set your limit at 4 articles when you win a Stanley Cup championship. I'm trying to read some stuff. From Isabel and everybody in the crew there. Nah, nothing. Can't read it. I'm already over my limit. I know you can help me out on it.
Yeah.
But still, it's over my limit. Don't do that, Washington Post. You want people to subscribe up to 10. Up to 10. And then have them write 12 articles. So you pay that dollar a month, you're fine. You'll get your money. Don't worry about it. Anyway.
Oh, they have that 30-page special coming out today. My big question was, when you open it, does it start playing Ovi singing We Are the Champions, like one of those Hallmark gimmick cards?
Do you think they've stopped drinking?
Probably not.
I think some have not.
I think they've slowed down.
A little bit. Some have slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, Jacob Verona, someone keep a tracker on him. I honestly don't think he's going to make it through the week. If he makes it to the parade, I'll be surprised. Which is today, as we drop this on a Tuesday.
He'll probably be the one in the baby harness.
Oh, yeah. No, the baby Bjorn.
Yeah.
Just strapped to Burakovsky.
Yeah, basically.
My God.
Holt be the concerned dad.
This team, I love it. I love it so much. Now, dad and other dad are on a business trip to New York, so they have to be... Now it's all in Kuznetsov, and he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I haven't seen Backstrom in a while. Where's he at?
Nobody's seen Trotz either.
Oh, they had a little private with the coaches the other day.
Did they?
Because Phil Pritchard, keeper of the cup, puts things. And
Barry, oh, yeah, there's a rule book. So, yeah.
Barry Trotz had the Stanley Cup next to his two President's Trophy little cups and a Coach of the Year thing on the front. So he had
was
a nice
Ovi
little...
attached to the cup?
No, he was having his own barbecue. He was going to Harris Teeter and just going out and about. He had sushi the day after Saturday. I'm like, dude, dude, he's got
he
iron
so
stomach.
Happy, miserable, like...
Yeah, he's like, this is a regretful decision.
Like,
I don't mind.
Like, I am still celebrating. I am so hungover. But I'm still celebrating.
Man, I should have paid. And someone brought up a good point. When do these guys start training?
Couple weeks.
You got to figure. They got to get their shit together now.
Yeah.
Because boy, howdy, they're going to need it. In any case, so yeah, it's going to be a little Stanley Cup fun times, because you had people in your workplace and also online ask you about stuff.
Yeah, one of my coworkers marched into my cubicle area. He's like, you have to know the answer to this. I saw on your Twitter, and I'm okay. What did you see on my Twitter?
Like a little secret in the world.
Well, I don't know which Twitter he's talking about, so that was my...
I assume it's the history one.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, so he needed to know about the bands. The
Panic at the Disco?
The rings.
Hmm? They don't get them until the beginning of the year.
Oh, my God. There's no living with you.
No, you are, though.
I regret this decision.
He said, come on out to North Dakota. It'll be fun.
Coworker came marching up to me and said, I saw this on your Twitter. You have to know the answer. What is this about removing part of the trophy? And I got asked that on Twitter a couple times to people who had no idea what was going on, what I meant by, you know, this is the last hurrah for, like, Howe and Makita and Richard and all of those. So we have to go back a little ways to explain how this works. The Stanley Cup was awarded, like, literally as the bowl for a while. And then they added the collar. It wasn't until 1924 that teams really started engraving it every year. Before that, it was kind of spotty.
Is it just a matter of what teams actually want it?
Yeah, what teams wanted to spend the money and, you know.
it can't be cheap.
Yeah, no. So that's why the top is set up the way it is with the teams it has on it. Just team names. No,
mm-hmm. No players. No anything.
Yeah. It's just basically acknowledging like those early championships and then skipping right down to the newer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in 1924, you have them start engraving. And the problem is the bands were too small. So the cup got too tall and it was called the Stovepipe Cup. It was really awkward looking. It was really heavy, so they had to redesign the cup. So in 1948, they removed the base. The bands were basically taken apart, stretched, and sort of welded together. And that's where you have the basis of what we have today. If you look at the old photos, the bands are a lot narrower, like top to bottom. Mm-hmm. They're a lot narrower than they are now. So anyway, we fast forward. The NHL basically planned for the cup to be engraved in full on their 100th anniversary. So the Pens won that year. And the next year, the first band had to be removed. And the question was, you know, what do you do when it's full? You've got 100 years worth of names on it and teams on it. What do you do? The answer was find the right size, the right weight, the right aesthetic for the cup, which happened to be about 32 inches. So what they do now is it takes about 13 teams, and that depends on whether or not a team adds extra names through waivers or whatever. It takes about 13 teams. Then the band is full. The oldest band, which would be the band at the top, is removed and taken to the Hall of Fame. So it's not destroyed or melted down or anything terrible. It's safe and snug in a little case in the vaults at the Hall of Fame.
They have a wing in the Great Hall itself where all the trophies are.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little alcove there. You can see the original bands.
Yeah.
And of course the actual Stanley Cup is there.
Yeah, it doesn't leave.
Exactly. The stunt Stanley Cup is going around making its rounds
right now. There are three Stanley Cups, right?
There's two.
There's the original one.
Right.
Then there's the display one. And there's the travel one. Yes.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Silver. Silver prices are going through the roof. Why not? Might as well. So anyway, like how long, what kind of year span are we looking at in terms of retiring a band?
Well, if it takes 13 years to a band and there are five bands.
Sounds right.
About 60 years?
60-some years, yeah.
60-some years? That's why I'm a historian, not a mathematician.
Let's see, five bands, that's 10, I heard this in a rap song once. I think 66 years. Does that sound right?
You know what? We have a calculator
13
right
times
here.
5?
Okay.
This is the...
this is where somebody's yelling at us through, yeah, through the speaker. 65, yeah.
65. Right.
Yeah. So it takes about 65 years for your name to travel, mm-hmm, all the way up and off the cup.
It's pretty rad.
Yeah.
Because by that time, it could probably be passed on.
Yeah. One of the keepers actually said that some of the veterans have said, hey, you know, where's my name at now on the cup? And a few of them have just figured, well, I'll be dead by then. What do I care?
Right, exactly.
You know? And then some of these young guys are like, holy crap. That band will probably be removed in my lifetime because some of these guys are winning at like 19,
yeah,
20,
exactly,
whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There's a key to keep winning.
Yeah. So that's what I talk about. So after the caps are done and Ovi lets go.
He's not letting go. He's going to take that thing. It's going to be his right wing next year. It's going to be Kuznetsov, Ovechkin, and Cup.
They will send it to an engraver. The current engraver is a woman, I believe, from a family of engravers, and her family's been doing this for generations.
I can't remember if it was last year or a couple years ago. They did a nice...
They did a really nice little video about her.
Yeah.
And she does it by hand, too. They still do it by hand with the little... mallet and chisel and... Yeah, all of that.
A lot of room for it. No room for error on that one.
And yet, somehow, a lot of errors.
Yeah, no, because it's one of those things where it's just like, March, and you think in your head, and you type it out, and you can't delete it anymore.
Well, part of the problem is, you know, some of these errors I can understand. Some of them, I can't. How do you plan out the word Leafs and spell it L-E-A-E-S?
They typed it wrong? I don't know.
How do you spell Boston with Q's instead of O's?
eBay does that. eBay does to put the Q there, so you can look and it's like the Q's there.
It's really odd.
It's bizarre.
Probably the most awkward error on the cup, it's not an error, it's just a engraving choice, is the time they put Frank Selke down as Ass Man.
Instead of Billy Gunn.
Yeah, instead of putting that T there, that would have made all the difference. Yeah. And then the trainer is Ass Train. It's really unfortunate.
I knew someone called that in college. I'm not going to go into details.
I would hope not.
Well, not on this show, at least. That'll be a Patreon secret show.
Drinking from the cup wasn't actually a real thing, a real popular tradition until the 50s. The Habs. That's where you get the first real pictures of the team drinking out of the cup.
Right. Structurally, let's go back to the rings and things.
Okay.
Like, structurally, do you know, and I'm probably putting you on the spot here, how difficult it is to remove a band and to put one on and under? It seems like a hell of a task to keep it stable and sturdy.
I think they cover that in the video.
Okay.
How they remove it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess they have to remove it in order to.
If I remember correctly,
it.
There are like tiny little screws inside that hold the bands together.
Gotcha.
And I remember this because one of the Pens players took the cup apart one day. He got curious and like unscrewed the base, so and
why
looked inside.
Would you like what?
He's like, I wanted to know what it looked inside. It looked like inside, and I'm like, I can understand that.
Richard having a sandwich, just talking it up.
Well, this was the.
It's like, it's a lovely Cape Cod day we got here.
It was the early '90s, so he wasn't on the job yet.
It's a great. But who's in charge of the cup? To say, hey, no, stop.
Well, the day with the cup didn't become a thing for a long time either.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, guys had jobs.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
They couldn't go around on this tour like these
and
players are today.
Plus, players were intensely more team rather than personal.
It's the stupidest goddamn thing.
Yeah, but I mean, if you talk to a player back then, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I scored 40 goals that season." But you know who was really great? My teammate. You know, and you go to the teammate, and he'll be like, "Well, yeah, sure, I blocked, you know, 120 shots." But you know who was really great that season? This guy.
Are these guys still beat writers today? What up, Larry Brooks, Keith Overman, and Damian Cox? Eat a bag of dicks, the whole lot of you. Fucking sick of y'all. Anyway.
That's a whole other rant.
If we do that, we can get on front page of Blog Talk Radio. Who's to say?
Yeah. So, if I remember correctly, there is a set of like little screws that connect each band to the other that they just simply remove and then
onward upward.
Yeah. So it's not like the cup hasn't been dented before.
No,
so
several times. I'm sure several times just this weekend. It's been 4 days. 4 days. It hit the fan.
I'm surprised Ovi hasn't gotten like a giant novelty handcuff like slapped around the cup to his wrist.
We might do that on the Fallon tonight. Who's to say? Or last night. I might have did it. It was hilarious. I don't know.
Oh, man.
By the way, there's a lot of dumb crap on shopnhl.com you got to buy. It's fantastic. Unless you want a hat and the Fanatics is like, yeah, there's a demand, but we don't have a supply. Fuck Fanatics, too. I'm tired of them. Way to sign an exclusive deal, NHL. Oh, fanware. Shut up. Anyway, drinking from the Stanley Cup, go.
That's a relatively new thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, 50s is not really relatively new in the grand scheme of things.
Well, in 100 and some odd years of play.
That's still not new. That was like 75 years ago. 60 some.
You're talking to a historian here. I don't know what you expect.
Yeah, but the NHL's been around 100 years. That's the majority of the time it's been drinking from the cup. And then kids taking a poop in the cup. And eating cereal out of that poopy cup.
Well, they actually did like a germ test on it, mm-hmm. and they said it was cleaner than most anything else in your life. So
I don't trust that. Like honestly, somewhere
I do because I have you seen Phil like caring for the cup? It's almost OCD.
Yeah, no, it's kind of weird.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird. I don't want to be eating a bowl of cereal and then like in the little part of the end in Nuzi Lalande's name, there's a poop chunk and then my Lucky Charms is ruined.
I don't think that would happen.
Yeah, you're right, because Nuzi Lalande's name's not in the cup. Go ahead.
I mean, it survived a trip to a strip club with Mark Messier.
Well, it's because he was telling the girls he was the best leader of the stripper routine, and it went up there and tried it.
Speaking of,
yeah.
So they had the cup at the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
Very popular strip club near the Northlands Coliseum. I think that was the name of the arena. At the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, Northlands, yeah. The strip club used to have, like, signs encouraging the Oilers, like pro-Oilers mm-hmm. signs. So they took the cup to the club, and nobody's willing to really fess up to what happened. But the long and the short of it is the cup got sort of broken.
Mm.
And they had the bright idea of taking it to an auto body shop. Repair. And that right there is the story of how the cup got to have a keeper.
I was going to say that insurance ain't going to cover that.
There are rules now. You can't take the cup into a casino.
Well,
it can't, like you can't take it into the casino and park, I guess. Like, you can't hang out at the craps table with the cup.
There's only so much video evidence of when they were strolling through MGM Casino.
Well, this is the rule as it stands. Whether or not they turned a blind eye, I can't say.
You can't stop Ovechkin in a drunken rampage. People can barely stop him when he's sober and full of chicken parm.
You can't take it any place that isn't, I guess the term I'm thinking of is like PG-13, like it has to be.
Yeah, family friendly. Oriented.
Family friendly, it has to be brand friendly.
I don't know, 1 a.m. with Tiesto spinning on the ones and twos. Pretty sure that was an 18 and over. Caps have really broken all these rules right now. It's not really that great.
Yeah, there's, like, you can't take off with the cup
I didn't see Phil much of Saturday, I'm not going to lie to you. My buddies, their season ticket holders with the Caps, so they had separate time, and that's what was Saturday and Sunday, they had times
yeah.
to go get their picture taken with the cup, and my buddies talked to Phil. He's like, they asked him how much sleep he's gotten in the last few days. He's like, not that much.
He's like, I don't know, an hour?
I don't know. I was sitting by Ovechkin's bedside, as creepy as it sounds, kind of thing.
Just watching him sleep.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interview with Phil, by the way. They asked him, like, what does he do mm-hmm. at night? Like, are they allowed to keep the cup in the bed overnight? Are they allowed to, like,
yeah.
what do you do with the cup when they're having, you know, private, like, quote-unquote private time?
He takes out his flask and takes a pull and just like, next question.
So that's an interview you'll have to YouTube as well.
I'm going to do that at work. Just take a flask to work, yeah. and if something goes bad, just take a pull. It's just water in there. And just get people to start wondering.
The last time the cup was here in Grand Forks was Matt Green.
Mm-hmm.
He was nowhere to be found. The cup was here. The line was horrendous, and the ushers were super, like, militant
right.
about getting you through the line. Like, if you were within 10 to 12 feet of actually being with the cup, they were yelling at you, get out your phone now, get out your camera now, be prepared, we know where you're going to stand now. Like, it was just this, like,
mm-hmm.
move. And you would walk up, you'd hand them your camera, and you'd have about 10 seconds to walk up, pose, grab your phone, and leave. Like, literally, you wait in line for 3 hours
mm-hmm.
for maybe 10 seconds. So, yeah. you know.
That's why you go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So, I mean, I went with my boss because she was all excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out Matt Green was, like, I don't know, chilling in one of the suites or something upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, well, let's go back to work.
Right.
But her husband had never seen the cup up close, so I kept him company. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But one of these days, one of these days I'll have the time to actually look at the cup. And not, you know, that 10-second flyby.
Could be this year.
Could be.
We got some connections if Yoshi brings it back here. We do cover the team.
We do.
Poorly, but we cover them.
I'm like, well, mostly you cover the team. I just stand there and take photos.
Right. Anyway, what other stories do we got here?
Oh, all sorts. So I've been trying to figure this out. The 1940 Rangers won mm-hmm. the cup. You've all heard the story of the curse. If you haven't, you can Google it.
Yeah, why would we want to give history on a history podcast?
Well, there's like...
is there a Cliff Notes?
The Cliff Notes version is they won the cup and then they paid the mortgage on Madison Square Garden. And to celebrate, they burned the mortgage in the cup and supposedly set fire to the cup. Now, the cup is silver. Silver does not burn, so
it's not conductive.
I'm thinking it must have been like, I don't know, champagne residue, like polish,
yeah.
silver polish must have been, and it can't have been that bad because if you look at the original cup, which it would have been,
mm-hmm.
there aren't any like scorch marks or any, you know, like there's no fire damage to the cup, so I'm thinking it must have been a very superficial, quick. Sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah. So they set fire to the cup.
Shocking, a New York team goes over the edge when it comes to stories.
Maurice Richard once chipped his front teeth trying to drink from the cup.
I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often.
I'm surprised
honesty.
Nobody's like flat out knocked out their teeth, like trying to, between the excitement and the alcohol and somebody trying to be helpful and tipping the cup for you. And like, I'm surprised nobody's like flat out knocked out a tooth.
Maybe Ovi's on the right thing with the whole cup stand thing. Like the cup stays stationary, you move. Which by the way, the fact that it took four guys to hold him up shows the kind of meat wagon he is.
The best part is like he started tipping too far and they had to use like an extra person to tip
yeah.
him back.
It's just like, Jesus, dude.
1962, the Leafs had a party and somehow managed to drop the Stanley Cup in a bonfire.
Did it burn?
It did sustain some damage because they had to pay the repair bill. The repair mm-hmm. bill is also in the Hall of Fame.
Nice.
Let's see. Lanny McDonald joked that when he won the cup in 89, of course they drank out of the cup then, but it was milk. And by the way, that picture you always see of Lanny, like, completely blissed out, hugging the cup.
Mm-hmm.
That was, people asked him, like, why aren't you more excited? Like, why aren't you? And he's like, I am just so peaceful. Like, that was, like, yeah. he just felt like this moment of, like, zen accomplishment.
Sure.
So that's why.
Which is why I'm surprised Brayden Holtby showed so much excitement after they won. This is the most zen dude I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Obviously, the famous spelling mistakes, New York Islanders.
Boston.
Spell Islanders.
Yep.
The Boston. Adam Deadmarsh is Deadmarsh.
Yes.
Peter Pocklington's name.
Dad's name. Yeah, he puts Dad's name on the cup.
So that's all X'd out.
Yep, and that's how you can tell the difference between which cup. If it's the presentation cup or the replica cup.
Mm-hmm.
Because a replica cup is mostly error-free.
Mm-hmm.
The presentation cup actually has the errors in it. Like, you can still see the...
Sure.
Yeah.
This is why we got to pull our money together for Patreon and stuff like that to go to after they engrave the Capitals thing and have a party.
Yes.
With all of our friends.
I am down with that. And then we'll just do a podcast of you following me with a microphone as I go through like all of the exhibits and
put this on video.
Talk to myself.
Make it a $1.99 video. Put it up on iTunes that way.
You'd be like, oh, there's Lionel Conacher's sweater. Did you know he was the rugby, football, baseball, boxing, wrestling, and lacrosse champion? Like, I'm...
And here's me. Hey, it's the Wild Wing sweater! That was some garbage, huh? Here we go.
We already mentioned... Oh, Jacques Plante's name is on there five times. Five different ways.
Mm. Player? Coach?
Nope. Spelled...
Oh.
Spelled differently.
Well, then.
Five different ways.
Impressive.
Yeah, because it's Jacques Plante,
mm-hmm.
J. Plante, J. A. C. Plante, J. A. Q. E. E. S. So they forgot the C, and then the other one is Jack, I think.
Jack Plante.
Jack Plante.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
The 19. Here's a weird one. Not many people know this one at all. 1951-52 Red Wings, if you look at the picture of the engraving, Glenn Hall's name is on there. He didn't actually play for them that season.
Mm.
Like, he didn't even play in the NHL that season, if I remember correctly. I think he was in the AHL that season.
Impressive.
Yeah, so... Not only that, so not only is his name on the cup with a team that he didn't play for, it was spelled wrong. They spelled it G-L-I-N instead of G-L-E-N-N.
God, like, that's not even close.
They spelled Alex Delvecchio's name with a B, so it's Belvecchio.
Mm.
They spelled Bob Gainey's name wrong.
No E?
No E. Let me think of some of the others.
You have to wonder, like, this takes a lot of time.
It does.
To do the work.
Yeah, no, it,
like,
it
why
really
are you
does.
Not more careful when you're doing, you have the time in between.
Pete Pelagio's name is on, Pelagio is, his name is on the cup twice for the same team, same year.
Mm.
So in 38, you'll see Pelagio and Pelagio.
Interesting.
Yeah. 41-42, same thing happens to Turk Broda, only his name is on there once as Walter, which is his real name,
mm-hmm.
and once as Turk. So Walter Broda, Turk Broda. Mm. Yeah. Gay Stewart's name was misspelled in 47 as G-A-V-E. They misspelled Tommy Ivan's name. They spelled it Niven. In 52, same year they misspelled Delvecchio. 63 is the Leafs misspelling. 72 is the Boston misspelling. 75 is the Gainey misspelling. 81 is the Islanders misspelling. 84 is the Basil Pocklington.
Debacle.
Yeah. 2002, they spelled Manny Legacy's name wrong.
Hmm.
They spelled it with an S instead of a C. And if you look at the, I think it's 2016, either Evgeny's first E wasn't embossed quite right, or they used an F.
Mm.
It looks like an error, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. There's been some wackiness. There's one, I can't remember what year it is, but they spelled the word president with two S's.
Nice. Impressive.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a crap ton of errors. And, you know, they do their best to get it right, but, mm-hmm. yeah.
Always a fun time.
Yeah, and you got to wonder if some of these old ones aren't just a reading error. Like, if they submitted the list and it was handwritten and they just...
It was just written wrong, or...
Yeah, or they couldn't read the writing.
And that probably a lot of...
Yeah, or a typing error. Like, mm-hmm. if some secretary typed up the list and, you know, mistook the B for the D, which, you know, is very well possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how's the engraver supposed to know?
Exactly. So, it's kind of tough on them.
Yeah. Now, the word leaves, I'm going to be a little... Yeah, I'm going to question a little more.
Yeah, it's kind of...
But if you get a hand, if you get a typewritten list and it says Bob Gainey, no E, how are you supposed to know?
Right.
You're going to assume that they've already proofread the list.
Sure.
And, you know, so.
So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So history made not only for the Caps winning.
Mm-hmm.
Ovechkin, first captain
mm-hmm.
to win a Stanley Cup.
First Russian captain.
First Russian captain
yep.
to win a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Lars Eller, first Dane.
Yep.
Nathan Walker, first Australian
yes.
to hold the cup.
Yeah.
Whether he'll be engraved or not still remains to be seen. 22 of the 24 names have been decided.
Uh-huh.
Two left to petition for.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably petition for more. I don't know what the max is. I'm going to say 40.
Yeah.
Max 40 limit.
I think so.
So I think the only three guys it's down to... because I love Shane Gersich, I don't think maybe two or three regular season games and then one playoff game.
Yes.
One or two playoff games. It's down to Walker, Travis Boyd, Phoenix Copley.
Mm-hmm.
I think Walker gets in.
Probably.
Only for the sheer fact that he's assisted on that Chiasson goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's Copley or Boyd. Copley just for...
Did Boyd play at all in the final?
He played in the Pittsburgh game, game six.
Okay, he didn't play in the final.
Well, no, if you play in the final, it's automatic. You have to play 48 regular season right. games or one final game.
That was 44.
Or 41.
41.
41.
Yeah.
Or one is finals game. So, yeah, and I don't think Boyd gets in, just because I don't remember him being up that much.
Mm. Then again, if the team is feeling generous.
Yeah, if they only have two guys they're leaving out.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure, you know, there's not going to be many. I'm trying to think of the coaches. Four coaches, five equipment staff.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have room. Meh.
They usually only put, like, the head equipment guy or the head.
Sure.
Yeah.
Head trainer, head equipment guy.
Yeah. And that depends on space, too, of right. course, and the team.
So Trotz, Lambert, Reardon, Leonsis.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, who's the bald guy? The Hitman guy.
Don't look at me.
Well, you have a computer in front of you. That's why I'm looking at you.
What am I looking
at? The Cavs coaches. There's Lane Lambert, Barry Trotz, Lane Lambert, Todd Reardon.
All right, hang on. Hang on. I'm getting there.
Right. Bald guy.
Trotz, Reardon, Forsythe.
Forsythe, Blaine Forsythe.
Lambert, Murray.
Murray. Jimmy Murray?
Scott Murray, goaltending coach.
Oh, Mitch Korn will probably get on there because he was goaltending against
Ole. That'd be really great.
Ole?
Yeah.
Well, if you put Ole, you got to put Banzai on there because he's community relations.
Yeah, but then you're running out of...
Right.
So, yeah.
So, obviously...
That might be their waiver spots, actually.
Leonsis, Dick Patrick,
mm-hmm.
Trotz, Lambert, Forsythe,
mm-hmm.
Reardon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, six?
Yeah.
Plus the 22 players, that's 28.
Mm-hmm.
So they got, what, 12 more spots?
Something like that.
The head equipment managers. So that's 10 more spots. You can get Walker, Copley,
yeah.
Boyd, Gersich, Banzai, Kolzig, Vogel. You know,
they don't typically put, like, the web and radio and TV guys on
Brent
there.
Lionheart, smoking out Koken. Joe Beninati. Jeff Rimmer for the year
beforehand.
Now
you're just, like, throwing out names.
Ron Weber's going to be at the freaking parade, so anything can happen. He's driving with what's his nut?
Yeah.
With John Walton.
Yes. I mostly just remember that video of Rimmer trying to get into the Caps dressing room, and the cord keeps getting caught and tangled, and he, like, gets 2 or 3 feet and pulls on it. Like,
it's not the most graceful of interviews.
And then he just sort of looks in the camera, just like,
oh. You have to feed it.
Yeah.
What a guy, Jeff Rimmer. Now he's just Columbus Blue Jacket guy.
Yes.
Any other things I'm missing out? The Dane, the Russian, and the Australian. What does this bring up nations-wise? I'm trying to think offhand if there's any other, you know, what other weird nations that we've had in terms of who've won it. I don't think we've had a Lithuanian, although we have a lot of Lithuanian players. Well, no, Kasper's Russian. He was born in Lithuania. I don't even think Kasparidis has won a cup. What am I talking about?
I don't know. Well, the first European captain was...
Chara?
No.
Lidström. Yeah, he was a couple years before Chara.
Yes.
2008.
Mm-hmm.
Which, amazing it went that long. And then, yeah, Chara was 11? Yeah.
Yes. Well...
10.
It's not surprising that it was that long because of the way the NHL sort of structured itself, I guess, with...
Captains.
With captains and, you know, if you're not American or Canadian, we don't want you.
I guess.
For the longest time. I mean, it took a fairly
long time. Well, for the longest time, it was only Canadians and Americans anyway.
Exactly.
To get the defectors in.
Yes. The first team with Europeans was the Islanders.
Yeah, it was the Swedes.
Yep.
Because they were the first ones to join the Triple Gold Club.
Yes.
Can't think of them offhand. Guy named Bjorn. Nielsen? Is there a Nielsen in there?
No, they were on the Rangers.
Mm.
It was Nystrom.
Bobby Nystrom
is European born. Let me clarify.
Okay, I was going to say.
European born. Your two are Stefan Persson and Anders Kahler. Mm-hmm. So you have two Swedish born and trained players that were the first to win the cup. The first Russians to win the cup were 94.
Sergei Zubov.
Uh-huh.
Sergei Nemchinov.
Uh-huh.
Alex Kovalev.
Yes.
Is there one more?
I think it's just the three.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a great interview of Alex in the dressing room. He speaks, like, almost no English.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got his lucky troll doll, and they're, like, celebrating the shit out of everything in the background, and he's standing there with his troll doll trying to give this interview in English about how happy he is. It's just ridiculousness. So, do you know the only Australian in the Hall of Fame did not win a cup?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tommy Dunderdale?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yep.
Dunderville?
Dunderdale. Yeah.
Dunderdale, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. He's from Benalla, I believe.
Benallans? That's in Louisiana. Not Australia. I apologize. This is not a geography history podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
The first European to play in the cup final?
I want to say it was the 40s with the Blackhawks. Alpo Supinen?
No, the first European born and trained. So we'll narrow it down because a whole bunch of players back in the early times were.
Nikita?
No.
Who?
Matty Hagman.
Here is that.
That would have been a 70.
Wow, that 78. Late, really?
78, yeah. Well, you only had Swedes coming in. Swedes and Russians. The first Russian.
Really?
In
Makita
the
was not trained?
No,
in
he was born in Europe.
But not trained.
But not trained. Huh. He came to Canada when he was 6 or 7.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yep. They sent him. It's kind of crazy because they basically sent an unaccompanied minor from Czechoslovakia.
Here you go.
To Canada.
Makes sense.
He was like 7.
Yeah, works.
So, that's why there were plenty that were like born in Russia, born in
right.
the UK,
but
born,
moved over.
But moved over here when they were like two,
sure,
four,
and got
whatever.
Trained through the,
right,
the,
yeah.
the North American
yeah.
system.
That's why when I say things on Twitter, when I say, you know, he was the first Swedish born and trained, people are like, well, why is that a big deal? Well, because the first Swedish born player was
that, you know, that, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a difference, mm-hmm. you know, between being born and
being trained.
Trained. Yeah. So that's why I always try to make sure and say just born or born and trained.
Mm-hmm.
So
good distinction.
Yeah. Well, and you know, less arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Although with some people, that's just impossible.
Yeah.
So.
Caps also the first team to win every elimination game on the road.
Yes. And Beagle.
Beagle being the first player to win the Kelly,
yep.
Calder, and Stanley Cups.
Yes.
They're trying to find a name for it. Don't know what it is.
Just call it the Beagle Club.
That'd be great. The Kennel. The Golden Kennel.
The Kennel Club.
Yeah. Done.
They'll just dip his cell phone, his flip phone in bronze and
yeah.
mount it to a plaque or something.
Be perfect. The Caps also, I think, one of two, or the first team since the 91 or 92 Penguins to win the Stanley Cup after being down in every single round.
That sounds about right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. First cup in 44 years. Mm-hmm. Hooray. And finally we can stop. Although for me, they get 2 years. They get a two-year period, and then I start bitching again. Whenever Backstrom leaves, whenever that first of the core leaves, then I start bitching again.
This rebuild better go fast, damn it.
Not even a rebuild, just a retooling. I mean, they got,
sure.
they got the core as it is right now.
It's a pretty crazy story about how they went from almost being blown up last summer
yeah.
to winning.
Now winning the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Well, Ovechkin was right last September when he said, we will not be suck.
Yes, and people need to stop. With the whole, oh, but they're an expansion team crap.
Keith Oberman, we're looking. Keith Oberman and every Pittsburgh reporter, we're looking at you.
Yeah. Just because they're an expansion team doesn't mean they're not valid and.
Well, it doesn't mean that any other team couldn't have beat them. Like,
sure.
The fact they made it to the Western Final.
Yeah.
Like, that's.
I thought for sure the Jets was gonna win, were going to win
yeah.
that one.
Well, yeah, the Western Final. I didn't even stop there. It was the freaking Stanley Cup Final. Like,
yeah.
come on.
Yeah.
And someone brought up a good point. Someone go tell Bobby Orr his goal doesn't count because it was against his expansion team.
Exactly. You know, I mean, and back then it was rigged. It was deliberately rigged
mm-hmm.
so that you would have an expansion team in the final.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Keith, that's why Keith Urban's been fired many times from ESPN and tried to have an astute political career that's gone nowhere.
I think part of it is lazy narratives. Like, writers are upset that their easy narratives have gone away now.
No, Larry Brooks has fixed that.
Oh, that's true.
Give me two cups, though. Lundqvist hasn't won a cup. No, but two cups, though. You have the Dan Marino of hockey in your net, and you don't have anybody to help him. Two cups,
the
though.
Whole, you know, act like you've been there before.
They haven't. That's Brooks. That's why we haven't seen Brooks Orpik anywhere. He's been there before. He's done this.
He knows what he's doing.
Damien Cox is salty as hell because Rafael Nadal's not swimming in a fountain. Like, Jesus Christ, stick to tennis, you douchebag. I said it today, or Monday on Twitter. It'd be great if we could do this. We couldn't because of security reasons. Every writer who writes something salty... We Amazon Prime to their office a big thing of Morton Salt.
That would be amazing if we could do that.
We could find a way to pull it off. We should.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some definite debaucheries in the past with the cup.
Mm-hmm.
It's been thrown in pools. It's been dropped in fires. It's been taken to strip clubs. It's been fixed by frickin' auto mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
It's been... sat in and crapped in and peed in and
God knows what else.
You know, a horse is eaten out of it and a dog is eaten out of it. And by the way, when Clark Gillies let his dog eat out of the cup,
mm-hmm.
people lost their minds because they were screaming how disrespectful it was and blah 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 blah. And Clark Gillies was like, yeah, but he's a good dog. Like, you know,
can't beat that logic.
So I mean, that's where we are in the outrage meter. Is, you know, back then it was how dare you let your dog eat out of the cup to today where it's like,
But they're having fun. How dare a hockey player show personality?
And have fun. Right. That article about hockey players not wanting to have a personality and whatnot was kind of...
I didn't even see that one.
It was lame.
Who wrote it?
I can't remember. It's not her fault it was lame, though. It was just... It was a lame concept.
Mm.
And there's a definite argument to be made for...
Oh, it was what's her name? Emily from ESPN. Emily Kaplan.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you hit him out of the park.
Sometimes?
Sometimes the park hits you.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I can't say anything. It is what it is. You know, you have an idea for a story, and it's like a concept for a joke. You have a concept for a joke,
yeah.
It bombs.
Either it works or it doesn't.
Exactly.
You know.
All right, it's card time.
Okay.
Card time. Oh, this one packed open up nicely. All right, Parkhurst. Oh, right off the hop. Start with the captain of the Capitals, Rod Langway.
Oh, do I have an... Oh, he found out he was being traded over the radio.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Traded, pretty much saved the Caps, essentially.
Yeah, and he found out about it, you know, radio.
Who says radium is a dead medium? I do. Also, born in Formosa.
Taiwan.
Yeah.
Sylvain
Turgeon.
He tried getting in a fight one time. It was not great.
Not great.
Not great. And people are still mad at him.
Wow.
Because of, was it 87? World Juniors?
That was his brother.
No, it was his brother, yeah.
Brendan Shanahan.
Not much there that hasn't been...
I already said.
Yeah.
Dave Taylor. I don't think we have much on Dave Taylor.
No, we don't.
Neil Broughton.
Good Minnesota boy.
The famous Broughton brothers. Rozo. Dirk Graham.
The first non-white captain.
Yeah, for people put the first black captaincy on him.
Yep.
Paul Eisebart.
Oh, wow. I know there are people in my timeline who get really excited about him.
Just random.
To each their own, right. I guess. Yeah.
Brian Fogarty.
Nah.
Here's one. Pierre Turgeon.
Well, that's an easy one.
He said it. People are mad at him.
People are still mad at him for 1987.
Peter Ahola.
I don't know who that is.
It's like Peter Aloha.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, I don't have much on him. From Espoo, Finland. Dave Taylor, 1,000 points. Mike Ricci. Sexiest man in Denver, 1996.
Okay, so here's a story. Okay. He and some teammates were in the bar, and one of the reporters was there. And this lady was hitting on Mike Ricci. And he takes out his teeth and drops them in his beer, and he's like, what do you think now?
She lifted her skirt and said, gum me to mile high. And finally, underrated guy who I always thought was super underrated, Robert Kron.
Oh, good guy.
Very good. Good
Everybody described him as a very character guy. Very solid, very even.
Yeah. All right, so that was series one. There we go. Jesus, look at these freaking skates on Langway. Like, look at the tongues on those.
Wow.
Puffed out for days.
At first I thought they were like ankle guards.
Right? Oh, I thought they were just like leg warmer, ankle warmers.
Yeah.
A little series two action here for your...
Do you know Neil Broughton raises horses?
Does he?
Yeah.
Good for him. Ah, that one didn't open as good. That's a shame. Alexei Katsatanov.
His other Russian teammates with the Devils disliked him.
Really?
Wouldn't talk to him. They thought he was a stooge for...
KGB?
Well, not only that, but for the national team coach.
Tretiak? No.
We're both blanking out on a very famous name here.
I know, right?
Tarasov.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were very angry at him because they thought he had been a stooge for both the national team and for KGB.
Claude Vilgrain.
Is he from... I want to say he's... No, he's from Quebec, isn't he? Or is he the one from Haiti?
He's the one from Haiti, the only Haitian-born player.
I knew
at the time, the first Haitian-born player.
The first Haitian-born player.
Kevin Weeks.
No, Kevin Weeks is...
Barbados?
Barbados.
Okay.
Yeah.
He could be the only Haitian, actually. Because a lot of these are Barbation. Brent Gilchrist.
I don't think I have anything good on him.
That
makes me sound like I have blackmail.
We're going to maybe see him a little bit this year. Mike Keane.
Mike Keane. Aw.
His son playing at UND next year.
Yes. He was on the Cup team the year I became a full-fledged like Habs fan.
Mm-hmm.
That ruined me.
Nice. Good work. It's been downhill until this year.
It's still downhill.
Larry Murphy.
People.
God, sorry. Stop it.
It's a lie.
Stop it.
People seem to run very hot, cold on.
Whoop.
Okay, if he's found dead later, you guys are all my alibi, right?
Larry Murphy? Why would you kill Larry Murphy? Don't kill Larry Murphy. He was terrible in his own end, but...
No, one time there was a... when he played for the Leafs, the fans just turned on him, like, brutally. And they had signs that said things like, trade Larry Murphy for a monkey in a bag of pucks. Like,
the thing is, that's a common theme with Larry Murphy.
That's very much.
That's
like,
why the Caps fans hated him, because it didn't have that... A, not only had that grit, B, an offensive defenseman who couldn't keep the puck in the zone.
Yeah. I keep forgetting that he was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I forget that constantly.
I forget he won two cups with the Red Wings.
Right? I'm just like, oh, Larry Murphy. What has he done? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
Yeah, but somehow he's very forgettable.
He's straight garbage. Luke Richardson.
Nothing that I don't think people already know.
Christian Ruttu. Oh, Jesus, that flow. That flow and that dumb Yofa helmet. Jeez. Look at that flow. That's a flow.
It's also badly dyed.
It's Swedish, whatever.
Finnish?
He's Finnish, whatever.
I want to say he's a scout now.
He probably is. I think he's related to Tiomo. Either Tiomo or Jarkko. I think it was Jarkko.
His father is a former bandy world championship referee.
Mm.
Bandy's sort of like hockey. More like field hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Murray Craven.
UND guy, if I'm not mistaken.
Nope.
Wait, wrong Murray.
Yep. You're thinking Murray Barron.
Yes.
Murray Craven played for the Medicine Hat Tigers.
Yes.
El Tigre de Medicine Hat.
He is now the vice president for Vegas.
Wow. Good for Murray Craven.
Yeah.
Sturdy guy.
Yes, he was.
Brad
McKinnon. He played like a thousand some odd games.
Yeah. He was 630 at this one in 92. So.
Yeah.
Brad McCrimmon.
Nothing that you can't already find in his many online tributes.
Mm-hmm. Rookie Valerie Kaminsky.
That's a name.
Oh, someone's got autoplay on their computer.
Yeah, well, I have it blocked, actually, and sometimes it gets through. Mm. So, yeah.
Valerie Kaminsky.
Nothing off the top of my head. Should be, but there's not. Although, every time I try to look up Valerie Kaminsky, it asks me if I want Kevin.
Yeah, that makes sense. Benoit Hogue.
Mm.
A guy who I think, another underrated guy, mm-hmm. like Robert Kron,
mm-hmm.
just because he was behind guys like Pierre Turgeon and stuff in New York.
Right.
Steve Thomas, and then in Buffalo he was behind some other guys too, or just didn't have the chutzpah. But yeah, he had a decent career when he was in New York, that's for sure.
Definitely.
And finally, the goalie wins leader, 1992. Can you guess?
Be Barrasso?
No.
Who?
He was tied for league wins with Kurt McLean, Tim Chevalier.
He's a firefighter now.
Yeah. Also, that year, 1991-92, 38 wins for Chevalier was the most for a Red Wings goalie since 64-65. And
well,
Roger Crozier.
There's a reason why they were called the Dead Things.
Yeah, they were not great.
Yeah, no.
All right, we've done it. We might have another show before the draft. I don't know. Who's to say? Who's to say with our schedule?
That's true.
And our motivation.
Yes.
Do we leave a week from today?
Yes,
as we
do.
Record this, or a week and a day from today.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be in Dallas if you want to. If you'll be in Dallas, holla. We might have some cool stuff from there.
Yeah.
So, photos and the like.
Yeah. There's a big Stars thing happening.
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. So, we may or may not get a first-hand peek at that.
Should be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. That's all. Where can people find you?
NHL History Girl.
You can find me at Scotty Waz. You can find all our stuff. Different mediums. First, if you want to join our Patreon, you want to help us get to the Hall of Fame, where Jen can just walk around and yell at things.
I'm not going to... Well, okay. It depends on whose things they are.
Sure. Patreon.com/FaceoffHockeyShow. You can be like Brian or Sean or Angela or Mitch or Chris or Ethan or Matthew or Trista or Damon or Mark. They all contribute to patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow for that. blogtalkradio.com/faceoffhockeyshow. facebook.com/FOHS radio and twitter.com/faceoffhcky show. And we're at SDR Strom Bubble. We have a new logo, and if I can figure out how to fix it or to get it on a proper background, it'll be aces. Because on one of my computers, it doesn't show up at all.
Oh.
That's not great.
No.
All right, that's it. That's all for Jen. I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Soderstrom Bubble on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. Until we talk to you next time, bye-bye.